Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back, 34 after the hour. It's good to be with you, continue to be with you. It's I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, to be part of my day? And I can see that. And I know you're pretty excited about that, as I am, to be part of your day. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you wonder what the heck's going on around here, well, we talk about small business things. We talk about things that are important to the tens of millions. Count them, ladies and gentlemen, the tens of millions of small business owners out there and the tens of millions more who want to be a small business owner. God help them. Anyway, those are the things we talk about. And one of the guys who helps us do that and who does it very well is our good friend Peter Meyer. Peter is one of the top Brain Trust members that we have. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth, which I've been telling you about for a long time. He's the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets, which is another book I've been telling you about almost as long. He's one of the guys who helps us realize that in the 21st century, small business owners can dominate. He's our good friend, Peter Meyer. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Thank you for coming back on the show. And again, Peter, for your message to us that we don't have to just think of ourselves as backwater mom and pops anymore. We can dominate in our markets. For that permission, basically, that you've helped us to understand and to give ourselves, we thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Now, you want to talk about elevator speeches today, right?
Yes, and you raised this issue a few weeks ago as to why they're important. I think it's important that each one of us as small business owners be able to capitalize what we say in that kind of environment.
All right, now let's remind people what an elevator speech is. Go ahead.
Well, the way I look at it is this. You get on an elevator, and there's a person with maybe a coterie of obvious support people who steps on the elevator next to you, and you're in the facility of a client, and this well-dressed, well-mannered person turns to you, sees the identity tag you're wearing, and says, to the name of your company. Now, what's a Blazing Game show? And you have one floor to answer that question away.
Wow, one floor. That's tough. I usually give them five floors.
Well, Jim, would you listen to five floors worth of an answer?
No.
We have one floor.
One floor. Okay, you're tough.
I've been on the receiving end of this, and the last thing that I want to get, and I know it's true for you and all of us who are listening, is a speech that goes on forever and ever. You want that, you can turn into debates on Thursday.
Right, right.
Now, what you want is a real fast answer that really connects. So what you want as the small business owner is to be able to connect to this person who's obviously important so that when she gets off the elevator, she says, let's talk more.
Mm-hmm. So literally, in the time that it takes for the doors to close and the person to say, what is a small business advocate, before the doors open and they walk out one floor, you've got to be able to deliver that short and sweet.
Absolutely. And you don't have time to think about it and say, well, let me get back to you, because you want to impress this person.
So you got to have it ready in a loop that can just play, just press play, right?
That has to be comfortable. It has to sound like you're talking from your own soul, not from some spiel or speech.
Like it sounds on Crossfire when they have the talking points.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Got to sound like you.
Mm-hmm.
You are your business.
Right.
So as you asked earlier, I have a way of assembling that really works well, and I'm happy to share that today. But first, we'll get a second. Let me give you a story about why I think it's important to have that done just right.
Let's do it now.
All right. I was talking to a group of salespeople for a company that is in the Midwest, a large group, and I asked them to please write down their elevator speech. And they did, and they did it in advance and handed it in. And I read about 10 of them. And most of the speeches start off with, we make software. And I said, now, when you say we make software, what do you think? And they all said, well, that's a good thing. And then I said, how many of you like to buy and install software? I don't know about you, Jim, but I don't like to install software. I don't like to buy software. Software
right.
is not my friend. Software is complicated. New software is hard to work with. It costs money. It usually delays things. The last thing I want is new software unless I absolutely need it. So if you say to me, I make software, I'm not going to be very excited about listening.
Well, also, you basically said you've introduced him to a universe instead of to you.
Exactly.
And whether the person likes software or not, and I personally happen to like software, but and you don't. But regardless, all you've done is introduce us to a universe. And I want to come back to that right after these messages. I got one more thing I want to say about that universe right after these messages. It's 20 till. We've got a lot more to come with our good friend Peter Meyer, the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. Every small business owner should have that book. Back 17 till. There's Steely Dan. That's a great sound. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Peter Meyer, the author of Warp Speed Growth. Peter, tell us where your books are available and give us your website too, please.
Well, you get the books at any good bookstore on the corner, Barnes and Noble through the small ones, and I always suggest small stores. And you can also get them on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and of course you can go to Meyer Group, M-E-Y-E-R. GRP.com. Just click on the book and order it there. That's easy enough.
Right. And I encourage you to do that, folks. And the last name is Peter Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. Peter, we're talking about elevator speeches and the importance of them and the importance of having them ready. I really am glad you want to talk about this because this is so important, not only because it's important to have them for other people, but if you can work on the essence of what you do enough to where you can make it what you do intuitive and completely understandable in, you know, say 60 seconds, you're going to learn a lot more about what you do, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. It's a good discipline to help you and your people, employees, suppliers, whatever, understand your business. And that's important because your business environment will change, and sometimes you lose track of the core of what you do, and that core needs to be maintained.
Well, and you were talking about how to say this to people where they can understand.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the software example, and the example I was going to give is when I bought my first single lens reflex 35mm camera 25 years ago, I went around taking pictures like crazy. But when I got them developed, I realized that what I was doing, I was taking pictures of the world.
Mm.
And I knew I wasn't going to be very good at that. So I realized that I needed to take pictures of smaller things. I needed to net out the essence of what it was I was looking for. Was it this whole mountain range I wanted to see, or the way this one tree is juxtaposed over this, you know, this pond or whatever it might be? And so once I started focusing, I became a better photographer.
Absolutely, and a better business owner because of it.
Yeah, and the same thing with these elevator speeches. Once you become better at focusing on the essence of what you do, I think the more, for one thing, if nothing else, Peter, that's one of the ways that we identify our core competencies, isn't it?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
So help us develop this elevator speech.
I think the other thing that we need to make sure we do in elevator speech is talk about the customer, not about ourselves. So I make software has two flaws. One is that we're talking about what we love, not
right.
what they love. And the other is we're starting with I.
Mm-hmm.
And so I prefer to, when I'm thinking about this, to start off with, you know how, as the first few words of an elevator speech. And that has to do with a problem. You know how hard it is to get the right information around a small business? That's a question that people can stop and think about and say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And I wait for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my job is to provide that information concisely and help people to the right place, the right information. That could be your USP. start off with, you know how, and again, you know how hard it is to get the right information for small businesses to be easily available. And I'm doing it in a very conversational style. So you know how defines the problem, and it starts with the word you. It doesn't talk about me or what I love or what idiosyncrasies I have. It talks about the customer.
An example of that would be something that I did a long time ago when I was a consultant. I was a small business consultant where most of the people I dealt with didn't know what a small business consultant was.
Right.
That didn't mean anything to them. Because they'd say, at first they'd say to me, "What do you do?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm a small business consultant." They'd say, "Okay, well, what do you do?"
Exactly.
And so I'd have to say it twice. And so I came up with essentially, to use your example, here's what it would sound like. I didn't know you in those days, and so I didn't do as good a job as you as I would have done had I known you. But here's what it would have sounded like. It would have sounded like, you know how sometimes you have projects that need to be done, but you nor your current executives would know how to fix those? And they would say yes. Then I would say, "Well, I'm a vice president you can rent. I handle those for you," and then go away.
And there you have the right formula. You know how is the right start. And you have the right length. You could do that in one floor of an elevator, right?
Right.
And it's very clear what you offer.
It's got to be something that is intuitive. It's got to be something that connects with something that they're concerned about or that they're interested in, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why would you buy something you weren't interested in?
Mm-hmm.
I buy software only when I absolutely have to. However, I buy solutions to my problems much more often.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that includes software. But I don't go out just for the software. I go for the solution. So why not talk about the problem first and then the solution second?
Well, and this is especially important for small business owners to understand, Peter, because if I am in the shoe business, well, if I'm a small business owner in the shoe business, there are a lot of people in the shoe business that, why would I do business with you if you're just in the shoe business? But if I have some kind of a focus, some kind of a unique way of delivering my shoes to customers, then that's what I need to be identifying, isn't it? Not just that I'm in the shoe business.
And not only the unique way of doing it, but starting off that discussion of uniqueness with why it's important to the customer.
Mm-hmm. Peter, hang on to that thought. We're going
to
come back after these messages and talk a little bit more about this elevator speech that's important. I hope you're working on yours right now. I hope you have one. If you don't, we need to work on getting you one. And also, as Peter said, making sure that your employees know what the elevator speech is for the company. Stay with us. 10 till. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for hanging around with us today. It's always a pleasure. Coming up in the show straight ahead, Kirk Chaffetz is going to join us. And Kirk wants to take the left. So I shouldn't say the left. He wants to explain why Senator Kerry would be better for small business than President Bush. And I asked someone else to join us to take President Bush's side, why he would be better for small business. And that gentleman couldn't do it, so it's going to be me. I'm going to have to take the other side. And then that's going to be tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk to Tim Berry, the world's business planning expert. And then, of course, don't forget now, on Thursday, the presidential debate is going to be had between President Bush and Senator Kerry. And then on Friday, Don Lambro is going to be here to give us his perspective on how the debate went. And Don is chief political reporter with the Washington Times. Peter Meyer is our guest, and we're talking about how to create an elevator speech. Let's do another one, Peter. What's another way? You've told us to make sure it focuses on the customer, not on us. Make sure that it concentrates on the essence of what we do, not on the universe of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
So if you, and I come back with the same pattern, if you're competing with Cisco at the moment, and a lot of small businesses doing that, Cisco, the internet router company,
right.
Food company, and you were to go talk to a client and say, well, I compete with Cisco, that's not going to get you very far.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, you know how hard it is to get all your electronic gear to talk to each other simply, well, we help you do that. That differentiates you from Cisco, and it tells clearly what it is that you do, and so forth. Now, Cisco's a client of ours, so I don't want you doing this. But if you were to compete with Cisco, you'd want to do your elevator speech around, you know how hard it is to do something da-da-da-da-da.
So if I were in the tire business, and I like to use tire companies as they're good examples. If I were in the tire business, instead of saying I'm in the tire business, I would say, you know how you're not always sure when to rotate your tires, or you're not always sure when you need to replace your tires because you're not a tire professional? Well, we are, and we keep up with that for our customers to make sure that their tires are safe and in good condition.
And I might even be shorter than that. You know how hard it is to know what to do with your tires when? We take care of that for you.
Yeah. And,
very
and,
simple, very
and, and that's something that we need to teach our employees, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Tell us why that's important.
It's important not just to teach our employees, but also to teach our customers to tell their friends.
Mm-hmm. That's a biggie, isn't it? Because people, you know, when I gave the example of I'm a vice president, you can rent. That was, I didn't know how smart that was. I didn't do that because I was smart. I just accidentally lucked onto it. It was amazing how many referrals I got from people because my clients were able to remember that. They thought that was a neat way to say what I did, and they would tell people that.
Yeah. And what's more is that it was smart because that's who you are and what you are, but it is definitely the right way to approach it. Start with the word you and talk about the problem that the customer feels first.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that work? Because that's how we would want to be sold. Why do we want our employees to work that way? That's how we'd want to be sold.
And isn't it important from an employee standpoint, having our employees understand this? That serves double duty because it reminds our employees who is the most important person in the equation, not us, but the customer.
Exactly right. As you pointed out in your newsletter a couple weeks ago, exactly right.
Yeah. So is this something that, should we put our elevator speech up on the wall? Should we have it printed up and plastered around? Should we put it on the back of our business cards?
I don't think so. I think instead it'd be something that we'd want to practice doing whenever we can, have our employees practice. The words would be different for the employee because, again, it has to come from their soul,
mm-hmm.
not from somebody's speech. A sales spiel isn't what you want here. What you want is the ability to sound like you're sincerely solving a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just practice it.
And what about the follow-up? What about afterwards when you say that to them? Let's say that you thought they were getting off on the next floor. Turns out they're going up 10 floors with you. You got a little more time. What do you do after you give the elevator speech? Got about 20 seconds.
Well, in that case, you've been able to deliver an elevator speech that leads to a question from them. So
mm-hmm.
let them ask.
Mm-hmm.
Let them ask. Answer their questions. Put the focus back on them.
And who knows, it might lead to a new customer. Peter Meyer, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And just go to Meyer Group, MeyerGrp.com for more on this.
Check it out, folks. Don't forget Creating and Dominating New Markets and Warp Speed Growth. Both of those books are outstanding books for small business owners. Thanks, Peter. See you next time.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.